And Father, we are praying that You would have our full attention here in this moment. We are praying, and we come and we humble and we bow ourselves down before You. Please, Holy Spirit, will You work in our lives right now? Teach us, show us what more You have for us. Thank You for how You've already spoken to us through this time of worshiping You in song, and now we pray that You'll continue to teach us through the teaching of Your Word. We pray this in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I know whether or not it's COVID or whether it's the weather, right? But we are so glad that you are still joining us online. And here's what I want you to do. Because I know that you're joining us online, I want you to pause and I want you to think about your surroundings right now. First thing I want you to do is to grab your Bible. Will you just take your Bible? If you have a hard copy, get ready, open it to 1 Corinthians. If your Bible's on your phone, here's what I want you to do. Will you put do not disturb on your phone, so that your notifications and people texting you and, you know, whatever's happening on Instagram, all that's not going to come flying at you for the next 30 minutes. Will you just pause, and whatever's going on in, you know, your living room or if you're in your bedroom, whatever that is, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to sit up. I'm asking you to lean in to the teaching. I'm asking you to actually allow the Holy Spirit to come and teach you right now. The Psalms, in Psalms 46, it says to be still and know that I'm God. I want us to take 30 seconds to have our minds be still. 30 seconds. And just close your eyes. And would you put your hands out and ask the Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit, teach me right now. Take 30 seconds in the quietness of whatever chaos you're in and pause and ask Jesus to teach you. Amen. Amen. So let's jump right into the teaching. So here we go. Fully charged. This has been our teaching theme. We have come right out in this new year for this very reason, because we all know what it feels like to be drained. We all know what it feels like to run in the red. We know what it feels like not to have the energy to take the next step. But it is possible that the circumstances in your life can be hard, it can be difficult, you can have people coming at you, getting in your face, you can have the most angry people around you and still not lose your joy. That's still possible. It's still possible for you actually to come back to them, and as you come back to them, you can do this with long suffering. This is possible for you to be able to react like this. And today, as we jump in to our teaching, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been asking to have the Holy Spirit empower you. We've been going through this now for several weeks, and we are at the very end of the fast. This time of prayer and fasting today, you know, you can finally go back and enjoy, you know, whatever it is you gave up for the 21 days. Maybe though, what you have learned is that you can build a rhythm of fasting one day a week, and offering a fast up to God to align your heart to God's heart. I hope that that is what has happened in your life, and this will be a spiritual practice to help you to keep your heart aligned to God's heart. I've heard some exciting things what God has done in some people's fast, and I can't wait until we have an opportunity to be able to share them with you and the entire church at large. Well, to start today's teaching off, this is going to sound like an odd question, but here's the question anyway. Am I drinking milk or eating meat? And no, I don't mean right now where you're at, right? In fact, if you were like me last week, you heard Maggie say she can't stand the milk. You know, I still don't understand this. I've tried to tell her if you put Hershey syrup in it, it changes everything with milk, right? But come on, you have to have milk with cookies, right? You have to have milk with Oreos. Your chocolate chip cookies, you have to have milk. How can you hate milk? I don't understand that. We'll all pray for Maggie and God will heal her of that. But as I ask this question about milk or eating meat, you know, when we think of milk, and you know, we can only have so much of milk, right? We can only have a little bit of milk as long as we have that chocolate chip cookie Oreo, but we can't survive on just milk. In fact, when you think about this and the way that Paul's going to talk about it, he's referring to infants. He's referring to those babes that's what they have to have in that infancy stage. You know, they have to have that mother's milk. They have to have that formula in order to get the nutrition. But at some point, if they are as they develop like you're supposed to, you get off of milk, and man, you put some solid food on the plate, baby. You're talking about filet mignon, right? With roasted asparagus with the olive oil, you know, and garlic in there. Oh, isn't that so good? And maybe even a lobster tail flown in from South Africa. Now that's the best. I've had that before. It's amazing. But we are ready for solid food. We can't last on this. As you mature, as you grow, you need some solid food. Do you remember when you were a kid and you would go out to eat and you weren't old enough yet to order from the adult menu and you always had to get the kid menu and you hated it, right? There was a point in your life where you hated ordering from that. And for me, that was pretty young. I was in first grade and I remember this because this is like a defining moment in my life. I could not wait until I could order a Big Mac. My very first Big Mac. You remember what they used to say about the two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and on a sesame seed bun, right? You remember that? And I remember the first time, first grade, we pulled up into McDonald's in my dad's pickup truck. And it was a Saturday. I even remember what day it was. It was a Saturday. And my dad said to me, I don't have to order off of the kids' menu, I can order off the adult menu, a defining moment. And he was blown away when I ate the whole Big Mac as a first grader. But I didn't. I had graduated. I got out of the kid menu. I got onto the adult menu, finally. And that's what Paul is looking at. As he writes this letter, it's not about food. It's about maturing. It's about getting out of the kid stage and moving on into maturity. In fact, here's what we're going to see today. We're going to see that spiritual growth comes when we stay focused on the mission. Spiritual growth continues when you stay focused on the mission. So take your Bibles and we're going to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Open up your Bibles or open up the app on your phone. I want you to see this. I want you to read this with me. I want the words of God to penetrate you and to speak to you. And it's been our prayer, our whole team's prayer. We've been praying since Wednesday that God, that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us and help us to see our next step. So in verse 1, here's what he says. Paul writes this letter. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. Now, first I want us to see they weren't living empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were not living fully charged. And he said, and he's talking to church people, so he's talking to Christ followers. This letter is to a church. This letter he's writing to Christ followers, people who had placed their faith in the person of Jesus. So we know that. But he says, I couldn't talk to you as though you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, like that you're actually living a spiritual life. He says, I had to talk to you like you belong to this world. Or he says, like you were just like babies in Christ. And then he brings out the whole milk thing. He says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you aren't ready for anything stronger. And he says, you still aren't ready. 3 years later, you're still an infant. You're still in diapers. You're still on milk. He's saying, give up the milk, man, and have some solid food. You need to grow. And how does he know this? Well, he gets very specific. In the very next verse, he says, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are not empowered. You're living by your sinful nature. You're living by your fleshly nature. You are not allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. You are not plugging in. You are not being fully charged by the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and here's how I know that you're not living a life that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. He says, you're jealous of one another. You're fighting, he says, and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? This is what Paul has to write in this letter to these Christ followers, because they're not living empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want us to come back to this word jealousy and this idea of this fighting that's going on. Do you realize that many times the reason why jealousy is there, many times the reason why jealousy is there in your life is because of a past hurt. Because somewhere in your past, there's a deep hurt, there's a pain. Someone has done something to you and there has never been justice. There is not justice done. And so what has happened is that has turned into that bitterness inside of you has turned into looking out, and you want to pick it out in everybody else. And you think, how come when they, you know, their life looks so great on Instagram, right? Their life looks great on Facebook. And you think everything it looks like grand in their life. And you think, but I know, and look what they, and you start picking them apart. I wonder if there isn't some bitterness when you find yourself like that because of something that there was never justice. You never saw justice come because of some hurt or some difficulty that happened in your life. And instead of letting God bring restoration in your heart, in your soul, instead of just trusting that God has this, instead of just trusting that God has the end, and one day if you don't see justice, He'll take care of the justice. You don't have to see the justice to that wrong. I wonder if that's where that comes from inside of you. And then it turns into fighting. It turns into bickering. It turns into criticizing everything. Inside of you, it's so hard for you to actually see the good. It's hard for you to actually have a day and go through the entire day and see the positive in other people. That's hard for you. And I wonder if it isn't because you have had some injustice in your own life. And you have allowed that to turn into bitterness. And it is wreaking havoc on the inside. Well, that's what's going on here. There's division in the church. and they are arguing with each other. They can't agree. You know, they have all their political views and they're all different and they can't agree on anything, and they just want to pick each other apart. They're arguing, they're fighting. And they're like, why do you have that? And why do you get to go on those vacations and we don't? And I wonder, is that going on in your life? And have you ever thought about bringing that to Jesus? Because what he says here, when that happens, he says that you are allowing your flesh, your sinful nature, to actually control you instead of the Holy Spirit. And then he gets very specific. He pinpoints another issue in this church. He says, one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I'm a follower of Apollos. And then again, he brings back this phrase, aren't you acting just like people of the world? Whenever you start siding, whenever you start picking sides and drawing lines, and you're like, I'm for this person and I'm for that person, you know, and then you bring that in to every aspect of your life, and you cannot let your view of who Jesus is overshadow the lines that you have drawn in your life. What's more important? Jesus is calling us to live out our life in a spiritual way. And he wants us to stay on mission, and they're getting off mission. They're more worried about this person and following this pastor. Oh, that pastor's not teaching today? Yeah, well, I'm not going to get anything out of it then. You know, how many times have we shown up and said that? Hold it, what? Is it really about the pastor? No. And that's what Paul gets to. Look at what Paul, he goes on and he addresses. He says, after all, who is Apollos? Or who is Paul? And I know that we all have our favorite pastors. And I'm not saying there that there's something wrong with having that pastor that you enjoy listening to and you dial them up on your podcast all the time. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you start pitting one teacher over another teacher, when you start pitting one worship leader over another worship leader, when you're like, oh, they're leading worship today? Oh boy, it's going to be a snoozer today. You know, I'm not going to hear from God. What? Really? No. And Paul gets to the heart of it. He says, when he comes back to this, and he's talking about himself, he says, Paul and Apollos, he says, Apollos and I, we are only God's servants. You know, that's a word that many of us don't like today. We shy away from this idea of servant. We shy away from this. You know, actually in the Greek it means slave. And we shy away from that idea that how could we be God's servant? No, that's exactly who we are. That's exactly how Paul saw himself. And that's exactly who Jesus said he was. He came here not to be served, but to serve. And then again we see him tell us to take on his mind. Paul just said this last chapter. Last week we saw this, to put on the mind of Christ. And here again, Paul is reminding us, no, we need to be like Christ. We need to model our life like Christ, and we need to see ourselves as servants. Instead of showing up and picking out everything that's wrong, we need to show up and say, how can I serve? Hey, let me hold that door. No, you first. No, you first. No, you first. We should be arguing over who goes through the door first. Instead, we're like, did you see what they had on? Oh, did you hear that song? Why did they choose that song? Oh my gosh, did you hear Rick teach today? That was the worst thing I ever. You see, when you get off mission, then now all of a sudden you have time to pick out all and to be critical and to criticize. When you don't deal with the bitterness on the inside, it turns into you getting off mission. And Paul is calling them back on to mission. And here's again the idea is that spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, it comes when we stay focused on the mission. Are you solely focused? Can you honestly answer the question, I am living my life on mission today? You say, well, what does that actually mean? Well, Jesus put it very simply with just four words. Love God and love people. In Matthew chapter 22, you can see that. It's all about loving God. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. It's a holistic love of the way that we love God. And then he said, as a direct result of the way that you love God, what will automatically flow out of that is loving other people. Here's how we say it around here. Here's our mission. Calling all people to love God, to follow Jesus, and to serve others. That's living on mission. And you know who's doing this? You know who's knocking this out of the park? One of our partners. I want you to listen in to this short little video as you hear how John and his wife, Elise, are knocking it out of the park in the way that they're just showing up saying, hey, how can we serve? And they are receiving Afghan refugees in there in Michigan. Listen into this.
I am engineer. That my manager that tell me my boss is problem for me in the future, and that my children and my family is problem. This Taliban in Afghanistan, and the Taliban that tell you where you can working, they can kill you. My job is finished. After my boss that tell me you can go to America. This is problem for you in the future and for your children. On for your family, because I come to move in America. I'm very happy because my family, my children, me and safe, my wife safe, my children, they can go to school, and they can study in here, they can doctor and teacher, they are engineer. This is good. I'm learning English in the class. My teacher name is John. He is very, very good because I like it, this class. And my wife is go to class. They are ladies class in here for English class. Right now my wife is working and they are swimming here near to this my home. After next 2 years, they can open for business. I'm very happy and the American governments because they are helping for a lot of Afghan people, Syrian people, a lot of people, they come to in America because they can help.
And that is what John is doing. They're just looking for ways to serve the Afghan people. And here we have an opportunity to serve the Afghan people. You know something else that John and Elise and his adult daughter Claire are doing? They literally brought into their home three teenage Afghan girls. And they're living with them. They're living out. They are modeling what it looks like when Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And these three Afghan girls, these teen girls, they have been through the worst things that can happen. And they've been through it all. And yet, here is John and Elise and Claire. They are just loving. They receive them into their home. They're caring for them as they are their own. They're helping them get all the help that they need. And they are demonstrating Jesus. They're showing up. They're living on mission. They're loving God and they're loving other people. Are you? See, that's what it's about. And when you are so focused living on mission, you don't have time to criticize. You don't have time to argue and to worry about this and to worry about you. That just isn't there because you are so focused on the most important thing. And that is the gospel and helping disciple people to grow people and to mature. And to get them off of milk and into the meat of the word. Now, what Paul does next is Paul comes back and he says, I have planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. He says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. That's so important because you know what? There are so many people who would never make it onto this platform. But they, what they do is so important. In fact, to be very honest, this teaching could never come to you today if it weren't so for several volunteers behind the scenes that you'll never see. And it doesn't matter what your role is, you are important. And he says this, it's all dependent. The growth, it's all dependent. What is important is that God makes the seed to grow. And that happens when you are on your knees and I'm on my knees and we are praying for the growth in us. God, keep our heart aligned. That's what happens when we offer our fast to God and we bring those fasts before God and say, God, align our hearts to your heart. That's what happens. And then he goes on to say this. He says, the one who plants and the one who waters, they work together with the same purpose. You see, it doesn't matter at what the other people are doing if we're all on the same purpose, if we all are trying to live out the same mission, and that is calling all people to love God, to follow Jesus, and to serve others. Again, are you living on mission? And when you continue to live on mission like that, you will see a continual growth in your life. That's how spiritual growth happens. And that's how you get off of just the milk of God's Word. And that you actually get into the meat, the solid food of God's Word. But here he says that this is about unity. That the church needs to stop being divided. And we need to work together for the same purpose. We are all on the same team here. We just need to make sure. We need to realign ourselves and make sure that we're heading in the same direction. And that direction is to bring honor and glory to God. And then he says this. And he says, both are going to be rewarded for their own hard work. You know, the person who does all that work, you may be at home and typically you're one of those people that are working behind the scenes here. You are working in children's ministry. You show up in the nursery ministry, right? You serve week in and week out. You stand at those doors welcoming people. But that role is so important. Maybe you are a counter and you are part of our finance team. No, hardly anyone ever sees you back there. But God sees you. He sees your hard work and you will be rewarded for that. That's what Paul is saying. And then he takes it a step further. He says this. He says, for we are both God's workers and you are God's field and you are God's building. And anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. And then he throws out these different ideas of materials. Gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, the fire will reveal the kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. Because do you realize this, what Paul is saying, that it's possible. You can be the busiest person, if you will, but if your motive is wrong, yours is going to end up like that wood, that hay, that straw. What happens to wood, hay, and straw when it's put in the fire? It burns up into ash. But what about that gold, that silver, those precious jewels? What happens when that's put into the fire? Well, they just get more pure. The impurities come out and what is left is the residue of even more purity. And that's what God is saying. And you those of you who serve out of a motive of just to bring honor and glory to God, he's saying you're going to actually have something to offer God on that last day. You're going to be able to offer that worship back to him. Of all of your hard work. So he says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Holy Spirit, he lives inside of you. Now plug into him and allow him to empower you. Stop deceiving yourselves. See, sometimes you've let side issues become the main issue. Paul would say, stop deceiving yourself. Those aren't the main issues. The main issue is the gospel. The main issue is making disciples. The main issue is whether or not you're dealing with the hurt and the pain so that you can get rid of that bitterness, so that you can serve, so that you can bring honor and glory to God. And that's why on your connection card, will you find the link for your connection card? The very first next step, it says this: I want to see growth and depth in my relationship with God. Pray I will focus more on the mission of God and serving others. Don't you want that? Don't you want your relationship with God to have more depth to it? Don't you want to get rid of just milk? I mean, come on, milk is good for a little while, right? But after a while, you need more than that. And I hope that you'll pray for me. And I'll be praying for you if you'll indicate that on your connection card. Online, just indicate it on the connection card. And we, this week, when our team gathers, we will definitely be praying for you as you pray for us. The other next step says this: I will ask the Holy Spirit to show me the bitterness I have towards others and ask God to soften my heart. For some of you, there's a genuineness about you, but you don't know where that criticism is coming from. You don't know why you always want to find the flaw in somebody else. You always want to poke a hole in everybody else's plan. I wonder, and I mean this, I wonder if there isn't a root of bitterness inside of you that's actually messing with you. The reason you don't have joy, the reason you don't have peace, the reason that you don't have patience, the reason there is no long suffering in your life is because of the bitterness that's there. And God can deal with that. God can bring healing. God can restore you if you would just come to Jesus. Say, Jesus, is there bitterness? Search me. Point to it. And then just entrust God for the injustice. I mean, you may have every right to be hurt and have that there inside of you. But what you need to do is trust that Jesus, that He'll make it right. He'll make it right one day. Will you trust Him? Let us know. We want to pray for you. If it's easier to pull out your phone and just text that word pray to 401-496-9710. When you do that, you're going to get an instant reply. Click on that link. It's when you click on that link, that's where you give us your name, and that's where you tell us how you want us to pray for you. I hope that you will do that. So, Father, we come. We need you. Holy Spirit of God, we need more of you. We need to be empowered more by you. Spirit of God, we're so tired. We're tired of operating in our own fleshly ways, and it comes out in bad. It just ends bad. We need you. Will you please come and work? Come and bring transformation from the inside. Change us, please. And may we get back on mission. The most important thing, sharing Jesus with other people. Help us to live like that. In Jesus, we pray this in your name.